Texas is going to lose really good players out of the portal. It's what, or to the portal off the roster. It's what happens when you recruit top five classes back to back to back and are a blue blood in the portal. So you're going to lose some players that go on. Samaje Burrell could go on and be a really good linebacker somewhere. Billy Walton, the same at edge. I mean, Austin Jordan is visiting TCU, right? I mean, these guys are good players. And you're going to lose enough of those guys where you're going to turn around in 2 or 3 years and say, man, that guy's in the NFL. Well, what happened to him at Texas? Well, the guys ahead of him went in the NFL draft too. And so I think that's just kind of the reality. I think when Texas is done getting another D lineman out of the portal, a defensive back or two, possibly a punter, it's going to be a more talented roster than it was in 23. I think 24 is going to be the most talented team Texas has had in a long time.
You mentioned that, and I would agree with some aspects of it, Jerry. I don't think they lost too much. Some teams got cut to the core. Texas, I don't think got cut to the core.
No.
By the way, I'm being told
they go on to be good players, but they have better players in front of them in their estimation. So, what did you lose in actuality? And then you have younger guys that just came into the program, 17 early enrollees. So Texas knows, has a good feel for those kids as well. We had 16 hits out of this group. One guy may need a little more time than we thought, something like that. So they're in a great spot.
Yeah, only one had a start at Texas from the spring portal window as well. So worth mentioning there, only three of them had appeared in more than 10 games as a Longhorn. So not too much.
Say that first part again, CJ, please, if you don't mind.
Only one player that entered the portal out of this spring window had recorded a start at the University of Texas. The other eight had not, and obviously Blackshear never appeared for the Longhorns in a game. Peyton Kirkland also not appeared in a game, as did Samaje Burrell. So it's not like there's a ton of experience walking out of that door despite nine bodies leaving the program.
Got it. All right, let's go to the portal, because that we talked about the outgoing portal. It's always a lot more pleasant to talk about the possibilities of the guys coming in. Texas waiting on a big one right now. Dominic Williams, defensive lineman out of TCU. Jerry, but I want to get a holistic view of the portal from you. Please talk a little bit about Williams, but what else they're doing, as well as at corner, a possible other defensive lineman, et cetera, and maybe what we should expect over the next 3 to 5 days here.
Yeah, so start with Dominic Williams. Wrapped up his LSU visit this morning. Should be getting back into Fort Worth soon. Texas is scheduled to see him this afternoon. Oklahoma may as well, ahead of a Thursday decision. I think Texas has a good shot here. I think LSU feels like they have a good shot, and I think Oklahoma's hopeful. So we'll see what happens. I think Missouri's outside looking in based on who I've talked to. So we'll see what comes of that. If Texas gets Dominic Williams, are they done at D-tackle? Probably, but not 100%. Simeon Barrow, the athletic playmaking three technique out of Michigan State, who's visiting Miami right now, he's a possibility to come in this weekend. I don't think Derek Harmon, the other big interior guy from Michigan State, is. Texas is looking at a couple other guys as well. Then you move over the corner. Obviously, Javion Cole, CJ did a great job with that yesterday. So Javion Cole visiting Thursday. Funny, I made a couple of calls on that, Bobby, and the San Jose State defensive backs coaches thought that this kid has a chance to play pro football one day. So I think that's very interesting to how good the San Jose State staff thought Javion Cole is. So that could be a big addition if Texas can beat out the all the teams jumping in there. Will Texas take a second DB with Terrence Brooks and Austin Jordan hitting the portal? I don't think it's out of the question they take two defensive backs out of the portal if they find the right two. They're not going to reach for somebody. So it's easy what we're talking about to get the 85, then punters on the table. We don't know about linebacker. So I think Texas is going to get the 85. The question is, what are those final four going to be? Is it one D lineman, two DBs, and a punter? Possibly. Two D lineman, one DB, and possibly a punter? We'll have to see. But I do think Texas is going to work back to 85 here pretty quick.
CJ and I were talking before you jumped on, Jerry, and we talked behind the scenes. We're wondering, what about linebacker? You know, might a linebacker pop up that Texas wants now that that position got hit a little bit with not only Burrell but also Blackshear. So they went from 8 to 6, and they've got a couple of young guys as well there. So we'll see what else Texas could do in the portal. Before we move on to the next subject, I want to say thank you to Adam Lowy of the Lowy Law Firm. He's been helping injured Texans for 20 plus years now. Visit Adam at loweylawfirm.com if you've been injured in a car wreck, truck wreck, ATV accident, or motorcycle. He and his firm will give you a free consultation if you give them a shout, let you know whether or not they think you might be due compensation. Again, loweylawfirm.com. Thank you, Adam, for your sponsorship. Hey, we talk about this, Jerry. It's also recruiting time. Coaches are out on the road right now. CJ, you've mentioned this. You just reported that the Longhorns are going to be out west a little bit early or later this week. Is that correct?
Yeah, they'll be out seeing Hayden Lowe out on the West Coast later this week. And, of course, stopping by Modern Day, who I put up a post on TexasFootball.com earlier this morning. Bobby, you know Modern Day has a laundry list of top prospects across three different classifications right now. They're going to be seeing a number of big-time prospects. Of course, Jordan Davis isn't out there, Marcus Harris. But you can even go south a little bit more in those classifications with Sean Scott. Of course, Mark Bowman, the 27 tight end, is one that Texas is connected to a little bit as of right now. So it's going to be a busy day for them out on the West Coast. And, of course, Jerry, you put up some notes earlier yesterday as well in regards to Coach Flood being out in Atlanta and Coach Choice being out to see James Simon on Tuesday as well.
Yeah, so go ahead, Bob.
I was going to say this real quick. One thing I want to mention is obviously Modern Day has, what, 5-6 prospects with Texas offers, from a wide receiver to a running back, to a linebacker, et cetera. I see this, and this is where I was going with this, Texas kind of splitting off. California, and then Southeast, and then Texas. Those are going to be – that's where Texas is reaching right now. They've got a West Coast-heavy staff. They've got a Texas-centric staff also in the state of Texas, and then they've got a Southeast staff. Jerry, you've been talking about whether it was James Simon CJ's point, or Kyle Flood, but also Kenny Baker doing a lot of work in the Southeast as well.
Yeah, Johnny Nansen was out in Vegas yesterday, and I think he's going to hit those schools. Bishop Gorman, Desert Pines, there's about three schools out there to produce players. So I think in the Phoenix area, as well as Las Vegas, because Nansen's been recruiting there for years. Then a little more NorCal under Johnny Nansen. They're going to see Josiah Sharma on Thursday. That should be Kenny Baker and Nansen. You know they're going to go see Marco Jones, who's coming in June 21st through 23rd, Hayden Lowe. Then you know Johnny Nansen's going to go by San Clemente and shake the tree on Mattia Tego, the USC linebacker commitment, who's an absolute stud. So Texas will be out and about throughout the state of California. And to your point, yeah, I mean, I think Texas's staff is out of state more this week and is really going to hit the in-state kids, especially in the Houston area next week from what I've heard. So Kenny Baker was down in Florida Monday. He was up in Georgia Tuesday. James Simon actually texted me this morning after coffee and football and said Choice is actually coming by today. So that makes sense. He's Shreveport today, flies out, goes out to California on Thursday. So it gives you – this staff is – they're going to be – and you know Choice is probably in Atlanta earlier this week. Kyle Flood's been – was at IMG, then in Georgia. And he's making his rounds as well. So this staff is going to recruit Louisiana through Florida. And then they're, like you said, Bobby, they're going to recruit that West Coast, California. I think Las Vegas is an area to circle a little bit with Nansen, and in Arizona, Jeff Banks, Nansen, and the whole staff has connections out there as well.
It's very interesting because I think as you draw a map in your mind of where Texas is recruiting, it's going to be along the I-10 and I-20 corridors,
yeah,
all the way to Atlanta with I-20, right? Yeah. And I-10 to Jacksonville. I mean, Jerry, you're going to be there next week to see Jamie French, the wide receiver that they're recruiting out of Mandarin, and then down into deeper into Florida, like O'Galley, where Kenny Baker was, Port Charlotte, areas like that. And that's that portion of the United States. The West Coast portion, I think, is going to be a little bit of Arizona, a little bit of Las Vegas, and a lot of all up and down the California coast.
Yeah,
that's kind of that's what I'm envisioning. If you're looking at a map, I don't see much in the Midwest right now. Maybe they'll spot recruit a defensive tackle like a Damian Shanklin out of Indianapolis or somebody like that. But by and large, the map looks if you're just drawing one on it, I-10 to I-20 east, then drop it down south in Florida, and then pick up major cities on the West Coast as well as all of the state of California.
And to your point, yeah, PK's flight to Atlanta may get diverted to Indianapolis once in a, every once in a while. He goes and finds somebody really good. But I would say this. If Texas takes a kid out of California, I think in the first class, it was more building in California under Sarkisian. I think from last year's class on through, Texas, if they take a kid from California, I think he's an NFL player in the future. I don't think they're – I think if they are hard after a kid out of California, they think that kid is a future NFL player. I really agree with that.
Okay, good stuff. All right, let's move on to the next topic. We've got June official visits coming up. We talked a little bit about recruiting. I want to talk about the NFL draft and its impact of it because it's been time since the three of us talked together about really what this does and how it sets up the Longhorns for the long haul. CJ, you talked to a lot of kids. Jerry, you talked to a lot of kids. What are the immediate words that y'all are getting from recruits and coaches, high school coaches or 7-on-7 coaches, et cetera? CJ, I'll start with you.
Yeah, it's all about development now. And that was kind of that big hindrance under the Texas program for the last decade is, you know, you get talented football players, but you don't see that progression of them as a football player on the field, especially in terms of what they could become in the NFL. Now that you've had a first-round defensive player taken for the first time in, nine drafts? I mean, that is a check-off. You can check a box there. You can go out there and say, all right, we've had three first-round picks in the last two drafts. We've had a number of guys taken in the first 2 days of a draft, and now all of a sudden we're sitting at 16 draft picks in the last 2 years after not having anybody in Sarkisian's first year. It's all about seeing those steps in which that tangible, noticeable difference is being seen by recruits and coaches across the country. We talked to Silas Bolden yesterday, Bobby, in terms of when he entered the portal. One of the things that he mentioned about Texas was, yeah, they've got all sorts of talented, all-American caliber guys that he wants to go play with and develop into, because that was something that was big on his box and his path into becoming an NFL caliber prospect. It's trickling down to not only players in the college ranks, but into high school, the coaches as well. It's all about development and being able to boast the second most players of any school drafted in the entire country. I mean, that's big. That's a big badge of honor for Sarkisian and his staff right now.
Right, I would say if you look at this, Bobby, too, they've now had somebody drafted, multiple guys at running back, multiple guys at receiver, Christian Jones at offensive line, Jatavion Sanders at tight end, four on D-line, multiple linebackers, which is interesting. Now DB with Ryan Watts. So Texas is what positions are left? Well, quarterback, which that'll happen next year, right? So Texas is covering the positions as well. It's not like somebody can recruit against Texas and say, well, they're not developing players at this position. Well, you know, that's not really true. I mean, they got guys drafted from every position right now other than quarterback and special teams. So I think that it's going to be hard to go against Texas. And I'll say this in the recruiting, too, as far as the NFL draft. We always talk about the high school kids. And I think the 25 class already knew those kids are really good. Nothing surprises them. I think it helps in high school recruiting with the younger kids, 26, 27, 28, 29, those younger kids that are really identifying with the players and teams. I think it may help you out of the portal as much as it does high school, though, guys, because kids that are jumping the portal, that are portaling up, that are headed to the major leagues, are looking for the place that can get them drafted. That's and they're doing it on a shorter window than a high school kid. I think it really helps Texas in the portal.
Well, even then, to that point, I mean, you just added potentially six guys out of the portal this year that could hear their name a year from now. Of course, Isaiah Bond, Trey Moore, Makuba, Nyblack, that's four. Then you go into Silas Bolden. What kind of year does he produce again after a strong season at Oregon State? And Tia Savea, you never know what the market for interior defensive linemen might look like, especially heading into the SEC, going against those interior offensive linemen for him could be a big jump up. Those are six guys that you expect to have instant impact with, not only on your roster in the fall of 2024, but in the spring of 2025 headed to the NFL. Now you're able to boast that Longhorn logo on them again and hearing your name called alongside theirs for the draft. That just carries on the momentum that we've seen started last year and then carried on to this year in the draft of Sarkisian.
Well, you know, I think it's great. And I think it will pay dividends, to y'all's point, a variety of ways.
Yeah.
You don't even know who it might impact, right? And how it might impact them. My bigger thing is that it changes the narrative on a grander scale. A national writer now can't say, oh, Texas doesn't develop its guys.
Correct. Or, oh,
Texas only had one good year, et cetera. Well, when you start having 11 draft picks, that's not an accident. That's not, oh, you got lucky. That's more of a consistent output that you're putting guys into the league. It's just a different level, frankly, than what most people do. I will say I got a kick out of the second round of the NFL draft. For those of you guys watch, I mean, it's a basically Longhorn love affair. Not only did three Longhorns get drafted, but also three Longhorns went to the podium to introduce folks. Aaron Williams, Leonard Davis, Jamal Charles, all those guys introducing guys. So I thought it was a fun time. Big week for the NFL draft. All right. Again, we're watching the State of the Program with Jerry Hamilton, CJ Vogel, and myself, Bobby Burton. We're brought to you by Adam Lowy of the Lowy Law Firm. If you've been injured in a wreck, a car wreck, truck wreck, automobile accident, or more, make sure you give Adam and his group at the Lowy Law Firm a chance to earn your business. Call them up or visit them at lowylawfirm.com. Adam Lowy, we appreciate your sponsorship of State of the Program. All right, Jerry, I'm going to end on this one, okay, for today. And that's the basketball portal. Look, take away what Vit Schaefer is doing in the women's basketball portal. It's got a girl, one from Michigan and one from Miami. I think he's totally going to remake that roster. Lost a couple. But men's basketball right now, Rodney Terry is truly trying to remake this roster after losing Tyrese Hunter and Dylan Mitchell to the portal. Brock Cunningham gone next year. Max Abrams, Asmus, gone as well. What does next year's team look like with the addition of these portal guys? And who do you think, like, including the portal guys, what is that team shaping up to look like from guard to center right now?
Yeah, I think the Miami team, and I said this when the staff was hired and Frank Haith was brought on, the Miami team that beat Texas in the Elite Eight is, I think, what Texas will kind of morph into. A lot of three-guard lineups, as long as they have big guards. You can almost play four guards and play small with two 6'6 guards on the court at one time. I think Texas is going to play very heavy three guards next year. And I'm talking maybe 95% of the time. But what they've done is they built a roster that they can play a little bigger at the guard position, or a lot bigger at the guard position. So, I mean, they lost to the portal. Now, some of those guys they didn't actually want back. So Tyrese Hunter leaves. Texas feels like they got somebody better. So Tyrese Hunter, 6'1", leaves. Asmus, tremendous, tremendous player, 5'11 and a half. But Texas got a lot bigger in the backcourt. I mean, that's the reality. Look, even Malik Presley from Vanderbilt, who was the most recent guy, he's 6'6". Tremont Mark, 6'6". The point guard, Julian Larry, 6'3". Jordan Pope, 6'1 and a half. And then you have Trey Johnson coming in from the high school ranks, 6'6". I mean, so you're talking about a much, much bigger backcourt, a more versatile backcourt, two guys that can handle the ball and make plays. Where after Tyrese Hunter faltered last year, Texas was down to Asmus as a playmaker with the ball. Tough spot to be in. So Texas is going to have multiple ball handlers, multiple guys that can create space, go get their own shot. Jordan Pope, Trey Johnson, Tremont Mark can really go get their own shot. So they got three guys that can do that. Then Jason Kent is an undersized four, but in the college game, he's a really good four. He's 6'8". You can play a better big lineup with him if you want to throw him out there at small forward from time to time. But he's a floor spacer. He can play in the high post. He can play. He can make corner threes, which is a confident shot for power forwards and centers. And then obviously Texas needs to add two more guys in the portal. They need to add a big. I like the kid from UCLA that's from Turkey originally. Just went in the portal. He needs to get tougher, rebound better. But, man, can he shoot it? He's skilled. They're taking a look at him. JT Toppin out of New Mexico, originally from Dallas, is in the portal. Texas is taking a look at him. The problem in basketball in the portal is some of the numbers are astronomical right now. So you have to be – is the juice worth the squeeze? I mean, at the end of the day, you really have to take that into account. But I think this Texas team – is going to play fast like they originally wanted to last year. Then things kind of changed. They're going to play fast. They're going to play three guards. They're going to have big guards on the court. It's going to be a much different looking backcourt than Texas fans have seen in quite a few years. But again, they need to add that second piece on the interior to go with Caden Shedrick, and then Zuriko Yema as the third. But I really like Jason Kinn as a college four. He's the most underrated guy they got, and his ability to help space the floor is going to be big in making this thing go for Texas.
All right, that's going to do it for State of the Program. Good stuff, guys, overall. I want to remind people, Dominic Williams, expect to announce on Thursday. Texas trying to get by there after his official visit to LSU ended earlier today. Longhorns making every last-ditch effort possible. Oklahoma trying to do the same, so that's no surprise there. Also, Javian Cole, CJ broke the news, the defensive back corner out of San Jose State. Jerry saying that a couple guys think he's an NFL-caliber guy. He was first-team All-Mountain West by Pro Football Focus. All right, that's going to do it. Congrats to all the Longhorns who went in the NFL. We talked about that as well. For CJ Vogel and Jerry Hamilton, I'm Bobby Burton. This has been State of the Program. Thank you.